A new gossip book on Barbara Streisand details her numerous well-known sexual partners throughout the decades. The book is confusing many literary customers who think it's a book about Streisand's time behind the wheel of a twin-engine Cessna. The book is called Cockpit. And that's Mark Maron's Short Order News for tonight.
Cockpit?
Woo! Come on, it's Monday. It was called Cockpit.
Very clever use of the juxtaposition of two words.
Oh, you know, I am just so happy Michael Shermer was laughing. I thought he'd be skeptical of the humor, but we got him going. Some people may call themselves skeptics, but few really do the follow-up to honor the title. Our guest is the founding publisher of Skeptic Magazine and the executive director of the Skeptic Society. The Skeptic Society 2006 conference will be held the first weekend of June. That's the 2nd through 4th at 2006 at Caltech, and it is on the theme of environmental wars, the science behind the politics. It's going to be featuring Dr. Brian Fagan, Dr. Gregory Benford, Dr. Donald Prothero, Michael Shermer. Dr. Michael Shermer will be there, special guest Michael Crichton, many others. He is the author of several books, including Why People Believe Weird Things, which was on the L.A. Times bestseller list. Michael Shermer, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark, you missed the big story about the 15,000 atheists that stormed the editorial offices of the newspapers because they found 12 blank sheets of paper on the cartoonist's desk.
it's a skeptic joke. Thanks, man.
We don't have very many jokes. So we have to tell them when we can.
Hey,
if you can't laugh at your own ideological or religious position, you're taking yourself too seriously.
Well, that's
the problem with this whole Muslim cartoonist business.
Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, people have been telling jokes about Jews for centuries. You know,
yep.
These two Jews are walking down the street,
sure.
And people just live with it.
That's right.
And,
well, I think that's what you come up against when you're dealing with religious fanaticism. I would say that there's a good portion of this country's population that are relatively humorless when it comes to seeing themselves in a way that would enable them humility.
You saw Isaac Hayes quit South
Park.
Yeah,
over Scientology.
And, of course, they make fun of everybody. That's what the show does. And,
right.
He said, it's not right to make fun of somebody's religion. Well, yeah, but the show already made fun of Jews and Christians and,
he
and
got,
everybody else.
He's been programmed. I want to talk about that type of brainwashing in just a second. But first, just for our listeners who might not know you, define what a professional skeptic does. What is your job?
Well,
Skeptics
is a science magazine. We're a science education organization. That's why we're affiliated with Caltech. And skepticism is just science. It's just, we're from Missouri, the show me state. We just want to see the evidence. That's nice. Prove it. Okay. Show me the body. If you're talking about Bigfoot, not just grainy videos and blurry photographs and stories about things that go bump in the night. We need hard evidence before we can get to conclusions. And probably I spend as much time studying how the mind works as anything else.
Well, that's what I'm very curious about.
Because most of what we're dealing with have to do with belief systems, the power of belief. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it, or I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't seen it. It's beliefs and, drive how we look at the world.
Were you ever a religious person?
I was. I went to Pepperdine University. I matriculated in 1976, first graduating class from the Malibu campus. It's a Church of Christ school. I was fairly... I was born again. I was.
So what did it to you? What was the moment where you were like, oh, my God, it's all a lie?
Well, that happened slowly, actually. I was in graduate school. I was taking science courses.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a number of things, not the least of which was I didn't like the intolerance that I saw in myself as well as my fellow religionists. This is the problem. Once you have absolute certainty that you have the real truth, not just it's true for me or it's true for my faith or it's psychologically true, but it's absolutely ontologically true. The universe actually is this way and everybody else is wrong. And furthermore, if you're an evangelical, by definition, you have to evangelize.
You have to annoy people.
We call it Amway with Bibles. You're going around knocking on people's door and selling God. Mm. And by definition, that's what you're supposed to do. And the problem with that is that it ultimately leads to a certain level of intolerance. You can't help but be intolerant.
Well, I believe at the core, even when people say that they are tolerant of other religions, if they are believers in their particular religion, but they say that, of course, there are other beliefs, in their head and in their hearts, they really are not tolerant, and they can't believe that by virtue of the fact that their God is the one God. So they're just paying lip service to somebody they see is going to hell.
Right. Now, it only becomes a problem when they put that principle above principles of liberty and the rule of law.
And human rights as well.
And human rights. So as long as you can say, I think I'm absolutely right and you're wrong and I'm going to try to talk you out of it, fine, this is America. But if you go, and furthermore, we're going to try to change the laws to make you think the way I think, okay, now wait a minute, or we're going to kill people in the name of our truth, then you've got the principles reversed.
Well, let's talk about non-religious people just for a second, because, I mean, you did write a book about why people believe weird things. And my question is, why do people not believe rational things? I mean, you know, you have people that are not religious fanatics. I mean, there is proof about, like, we're going to talk about in a minute, about global warming, about the existence and cover-up of mad cow disease, about the existence and cover-up of brain damage caused by aspartame, about the way and the way this government, this administration hides things, you know, in order to allow corporate interests to do whatever they can, even though it kills people. Now, I know that this is true, and many people know about global warming. They know in their hearts that it's true. Are they unable to process that information because they feel helpless? Why do you think people just go on living lives of disconcern for these issues?
Well, what it is one of the cognitive biases that explains a lot of these things is called a confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is where you look for and find confirmatory evidence for which you already believe and you ignore disconfirmatory evidence. Everybody does it. Conspiracy theories are built on this. You connect the dots. You look for things that fit the Da Vinci Code. Let's connect the dots and ignore everything that doesn't seem to fit the story. Everybody does this. Republicans, Democrats, you know, scientists, religious people, whatever, everybody does it.
So you're saying that they
and so you have the model, you have the particular belief, however you got it, which is usually you were raised this way, or your teachers told you, or you read it in a book or whatever, and you're committed. Once you commit to the position, then the mind is built in a way that you seek out evidence to fit it and support it, because it's psychologically reinforcing to have evidence for what you already are committed to, and then you just ignore disconfirmatory evidence, and it's really hard to make the switch. And the way the switch happens is usually it hits sort of a tipping point where you have so much evidence that it just becomes obvious. Like in the case of global warming, I do think that this battle is largely won now, that the evidence is so overwhelming that even the hardcore global warming skeptics will have to come around in the next year.
Well, then how do we fight an administration or a momentum that is just determined to legislate against this reason?
We do it like Chris Mooney did, writing the Republican War on Science. You write books, you write op-ed pieces, you go on the radio, you get on television. This is America. It's a free society. It's a free market of ideas. We have to fight vigilance.
So you're saying that because there are – the thing that bothers me about this current administration and the way they exploit people who are either frightened or narrow-minded when it comes to these things is that they – I have to assume – That people like Donald Rumsfeld, that people who are in charge of the intellectual aims of this neocon agenda, they're not stupid people. And they know that this is a reality. What I don't understand is, what the hell are they thinking? Do they have a plan B? Are they leaving? Are they aliens? Who are these people that will work people's deaths and the Earth's death into their bottom line?
I don't know. It's I guess they're committed to a certain principle, say the spread of democracy, and even to the point of perhaps forcing it on other countries. And if you have that belief, once you go down the road of making the commitment, it's hard to back out. Like Johnson in Vietnam, it was clear he should have gotten out long before, but you just can't do it once you're down that road. Bush will never say, I made a mistake and we should get out of Iraq. It's never going to happen. Because the behavioral commitments are so powerful that it the thing about in order for a new idea to be accepted in science, the old professors and scientists have to die.
Right.
I mean, sometimes it comes down to that, a regime change, a change of whoever is in power of whatever the system is.
But isn't this, like, when you talk about their imposing democracy or whatever they're calling it nationwide, which is just a thinly veiled imperialistic agenda in a lot of ways. What my question is this seems to be that reason and what you're talking about, scientific evidence in relation to the sustenance of the species in a world where free market capitalism is the model, it seems almost impossible to fight that, no matter what the government system or what administration is in office. Can we address that in a second? Because we're going to have to take a break, and I want to address that, because it seems to me that what they're willing to do in the name of business and the sacrifices that they're willing to make of our well-being, just regular people, it's above and beyond anything I can understand. We are talking to Michael Shermer. You can go to www.skeptic.com to get information. He's the publisher of Skeptic Magazine, the executive director of the Skeptic Society. We will continue with him in a minute. It is 20 past.
And now he hates our freedoms. Mark Maron.
Hey, that ain't me. No, I don't know. Michael Shermer is with us. He is the publisher of Skeptic Magazine and the executive director of the Skeptic Society. The question I posited, is that a word? Is that a scientific word, posit?
Did it I
posit?
Is now. Yeah.
Did I posit that
you
question?
You posited the posited.
The question is that
you
I...
You deposited it.
Now I'm going to redeposit it. I've always believed that the Republicans believe in evolution because I think they're absolutely sure people will adapt to their malignant agenda, and they're just willing to work those deaths into the bottom line, whoever doesn't make it. So what I was asking you in terms of this administration, in terms of the way the world is structured along the lines of industry and capitalism, that it seems to me that because of greed and because of the alignment of politics with business, that they're always going to rule in favor of corporations, which are the primary criminals in terms of causing global warming, in terms of ruining the environment, in terms of putting food out into the world that's unsafe. How do you fight that?
Well, I would dispute some of that, actually. So I'm not sure I'd want to fight all of it. If you start off with the principle that capitalism generates a huge amount of wealth for everybody that they wouldn't have had that nobody would have had otherwise, then you have to factor in the fact that there is corruption, and then it's the worst system except for all the others.
Maybe corporatocracy is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, some of that. So how much government intervention and control in the marketplace should we impose? We need some.
Yeah.
How much? And so, it's hard. That's a tough one. It's very complex. How do you get food? We have plenty of food here. How do you get it to the third world nations? Well, right. They have corrupt governments. How do you overcome that? That's not a capitalist problem. That's a political, not an economic problem so much as a political distribution problem, I think.
Okay, so we want to move on for that. It was interesting because you said it's very complex, and it's interesting because that's the argument that Christian used against evolution. That's so complex, and clearly I don't understand it, so God must have done it.
I think in the case of Republicans, like anybody else, once you have a belief system in place, and it's next to impossible to even hear contradictory evidence to it, and... So in the case of evolution, for example, my approach now is to try to sell them being conservatives, because they're the most skeptical of evolution, that it is not contradictory to religion or even to free market capitalism. I mean, the process of Darwin's natural selection is Adam Smith's invisible hand. Mm-hmm. People are comfortable understanding that the economy is a complex system that just happens with a bunch of people running around, and it, out of that evolves this critically complex system, just like organisms are running around just trying to survive and make a living. And also evolution gives us a human nature. It gives us family values, so to speak. It gives us good and evil in terms of we do good things, we do bad things, and so on. So in that sense, I think conservatives and Christians should embrace Darwin and evolution because it actually supports what they already believe. They just don't know it. So what we have is a problem of marketing. Not scientific evidence. It's a marketing problem.
Sure.
And I think it's been mismarketed to them by fundamentalists who think that they can't adjust to it.
How about this? I got a pitch for it. Hey, stupid, wake up! And then you tell them. You think that'd be alienating?
Sometimes that works, but the stupid part often. I have found that when you open a conversation saying you're an idiot to believe what you believe, it doesn't always work.
Let's try a couple. Let's say that I'm a religious fanatic, and just tell me what I should say to these people, because I engage them. Evolution is just a theory. It doesn't explain everything that much. Oh. There's a God come on, really. Be serious. You think it explains, like, my glasses and a bug? Huh?
My approach to that is to say, hey, stupid. No.
I knew you'd use it. All right, how about this one? The other argument that they always come down to, oh, you only got a minute. This is good. And Dave Koechner just got here. We're gonna keep this going. What about this one where they say that, okay, even if you get them on the complexity, it still can be explained by science or the scientific model of evolution and evolutionary studies. What about when they say, well, the force of life, the force that drives life, is still unexplainable?
There's a lot of things we can't explain, but that doesn't mean some other position is true. You have to actually have evidence in favor of your position, not against the other guy. So,
heathen! Burn him, he's a witch!
So the way it works is you say, all right, even though these guys over here have all this evidence, they can't explain this one little thing, therefore we'll abandon that whole field, and of course we don't do that in other areas.
Right. Okay. Well, I think
so. In other words, it's okay to say I don't know. It's okay to say we can't explain everything.
Yeah, but that frightens them. You have to understand they can't deal with that kind of void, and they have to fill it with God, or else they'll fall into some sort of weird panic.
Some people, most people actually, are not comfortable with with ambiguity. They have a low tolerance of ambiguity.
Well, hang on a minute, Michael Shermer, because we can get to Scientology. Dave Koechner is going to get on board in just a second. You're listening to the Mark Maron Show. It is about 10:30, so stay with us.
Now he's got a low tolerance of ambiguity. Mark Maron.
Thank you, Jim. That was very kind of you. Very kind.
And very relevant.
Oh, I'll say.
Yeah.
Our guest is Michael Shermer. He's the publisher of Skeptic Magazine. He's the executive director of the Skeptic Society, which will have its annual conference June 2nd through 4th at Caltech on the theme, The Environmental War is the Science Behind the Politics. And now, David Koechner, who you know from SNL, from Anchorman, his new movie is Thank You for Smoking, and he's also in The Dukes of Hazzard and Larry the Cable. You're in everything. Has sort of popped in, and we're in the middle of a conversation. We're going to give him a formal introduction in a minute, but I want to throw it to Jim Merle, who Michael Shermer is right up your alley, isn't he, Jim?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I had a question about religion. By definition, is a possible for a skeptic to be tolerant of religion?
Oh, well, I think we have to be, in a sense. It's such a powerful social institution that the idea that it's going to someday just go away is probably unrealistic.
I thought you were a fighter, so, Michael. I thought you were a fighter. I misunderstood.
I think the way to do it...
Get out of my studio.
I'm trying to save those souls one by one.
Okay.
So I only pretend to be tolerant.
An evangelical atheist. I like that.
Oh, after my born again stint, when I went door to door, I went back.
Yeah, and
started saying, I take it back. I was wrong.
Remember me? I was wrong. That's hilarious.
I got this new book.
what book?
Origin of Species.
Nice.
No, just kidding. No.
David Koechner, do you have a pressing question for Mr. Shermer?
Not a pressing question. I'm enjoying it. I want to keep the segment rolling because I know you only have Sherm for a brief time.
Sherm.
Let's get right back to the business of Sherm. Oh, the only thing I had that you'd posited earlier, the way that... Hey, stupid, when you're trying to change their mind, if you do it in a fun, folksy, congenial way, then they'll listen.
Yeah.
Like, hey, stupid, I'm talking to you. They go, oh, he's talking to me, he called me stupid, I'm asking you to listen.
You're one of us,
he's
come on.
Me. Yeah. No, seriously, everything you believe is wrong.
Yeah. What? I can have a drink?
Yes, you can still drink, but listen.
Okay. Is that true? That's sort of true.
It is true. If you speak
their language.
Absolutely.
I find that's also the power of humor. If you've got a joke that's got a real hook to it, that if you can put something in somebody's head that makes them see something like they've never seen it before and they felt like they came upon the thought themselves, then that can change minds.
That's right. Make it their idea.
Yeah.
And they have a good laugh about it.
Right.
You got to laugh at yourself and your beliefs. If you don't, somebody else will.
and then
you'll be the butt of the joke.
Right. And then you might get yourself killed, apparently, in this particular world.
Well, we at Skeptic, we've never been sued. We've never been shot at. I've never had any death threats. Basically because I'm more interested in the ideas rather than how much money they make or who they're sleeping with or how goofy their person. We've done stuff on Scientology. We've never been sued by them. I just look at the claims. Okay, what is it you're saying here? I mean, what was this? Xenu came from a planet? Where's this planet? If you just address the claims and not, how much money Tom Cruise gave the church, because who cares? I mean,
I think it's starting to turn out that whole sort of legal wing and also the numbers of people that are in the church is kind of amplified and distorted. And I think they're sort of pulling back from that reputation.
The best article I've ever read on Scientology was in last month's Rolling Stone.
We interviewed her.
Yeah, oh,
and we
did,
talked
yeah.
to her.
It's terrific. Incredible story.
It was interesting because they got, you know, she was very objective. She was a decent reporter. But when we talked to her, she was very wary, not only to, she didn't want to come off as biased, but I thought they got to her a little bit.
Maybe. And that's how all belief systems work. I mean, from your perspective, how can anybody be a Republican or whatever?
No, I understand it all.
You know, you walk into the Scientology office, they don't tell you the whole story of the Xenu and the Battle of the Planets. So they give you a personality test.
Right, they give you a taste.
And everybody fails it.
Yeah.
Looks good. Uh-oh. No, we're going to have to work on this. You can take the first class.
And most of these people are fragile, insecure people. Look, I am not confident enough not to at least acknowledge and understand why people believe in stuff. I read a lot of different things, but I've said this before, I will not pick up Dianetics because I don't know what page it happens on. And I don't feel that confident in myself to start going, wow, some of this makes sense. There's no reason I should fight all of it. And the Celebrity Center looks like a nice place. I'll go in and have a free snack.
And they got good snacks there, too.
Have you been there?
No, I've never been there. I've heard the stories.
Wait a minute. Who are you working for, mister? Well, Michael, I want to thank you for being here. This is a lovely conversation.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I had a good time.
Well, I'd like you to come back sometime if it wasn't that big a deal.
I would have brought all my jokes. I didn't know this would be so funny.
You got more jokes? You want to have one more?
Rabbi's walking down the street and he's got a parrot on his shoulder. And a guy walks by and says, where'd you get that? Parrot says, Brooklyn. They're all over the place. See, you can tell jokes about other religions. It's all right.
I think I just laughed uncomfortably. I'm not sure what happened there, but it was a genuine laugh nonetheless. So, Michael Shermer, if you guys want to see what he's up to, go to www.skeptic.com. Thanks for coming by. I appreciate it. Now, he's got I'm going to do this on the air because I think it's important to see how the inner workings go. He's parked in the lot, so he's got a ticket, and we have no real way to validate that ticket.
I was going to pay for that.
See, that's right. So why don't we just pay for it and then
the parking attendant may be gone.
Oh, see, that's a gamble we have. We apply logic to this. It's like if you wait around long enough, there's no guy there anymore. Thank you, Michael Shermer. We're going to finish up with Dave Koechner, who you will see, and thank you for smoking. Here's a little clip from that.